chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return. And I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello and welcome to Tyson Yachts. I'm Tim Alley, Mr. Miller, Weber of the board. Also have Mr. Lou Michaels from, we don't know what continent he hails from because we're going to keep him very secret today. He might be Australia, he might be New Zealand, he might be Russia, we don't know, but he's with us. Lou, how are you?
I'm doing okay, and just so you know, I'm not being funded by the Russians or colluding with them.
I just watched Chernobyl, and I thought maybe he was in the Forbidden Zone.
With a little suit on?
Isn't that a great show?
It was very, very good, yeah. And for those like me that knew about that but weren't super familiar with the details, it was very informative, too.
The details were pretty bad.
Let me just tell you, Matty, they capture the Soviet Union almost perfectly there.
Really?
The whole bit about we don't have to shoot you, we can just make you disappear, the suicides, the gloom, the incredibly oppressive communist government, yeah. They capture it perfectly there.
Well, we have S&P futures up 375, Dow futures up 16, NASDAQ futures up 34. Crazy stuff going on here, Lou, as you might expect. Crazy stuff going up on your end. What do you think about this Brexit thing? One of the great things
about Brexit is I have a close personal contact who is an expatriate. United States expatriate who lives overseas, who constantly runs down the quality of the American government in favor of European governments, and I've thoroughly enjoyed what's happening in London from the perspective of basically being able to tell her, don't talk to me about the incompetence of you know U.S. government versus European governments. It's amazing just to watch from here. Because of course I'm on BBC World Service here, and they are wallpapering the coverage, and of course the Brits don't have a written constitution, so they are basically making up this fistfight between their executive branch, which of course is a direct outgrowth of their parliament, their legislative branch, between their executive and their legislative, and I think what you've got. In my opinion, is a full-scale revolt by the ruling elite, the global elite of Great Britain, against the popular will of the people, which was a referendum to get us the heck out of the EU because of the sovereignty issues, mainly immigration, but sovereignty issues, and a complete refusal on the part of the ruling elites in the press and in the government to follow those dictates.
I was gonna say the exact same thing. It seems to me it's exactly what basically happens when in an alleged democracy, when there is a vote that doesn't appear to be, nobody's saying it was fake or there were busloads of people coming in
No.
from overseas or anything. And the rest of the people just saying we're not going to go with it. We're going to make this as difficult as possible. And I mean, they were interviewing people last week, and they had some lady on there. This was a bad decision. We want another vote. We don't want to do it. There is no such thing as the proper quote deal for
no.
those people.
No, they won't listen to it. And I would compare that very favorably to what you see in this country with the reaction of the press and our elite. Class, governing class here, reacting to the 2016 election, and the way they have consistently attempted to basically void the election over and over and over again with anything they can come up with, and it's unprecedented in my history. I don't remember a time like this, but I'm sure there are times in our history where you've had a president who has been this much of an outsider, maybe Jackson. But,
well, they had a couple of elections where didn't they end up the Senate had to decide it, and
Yeah, but it wasn't somebody from outside the, it wasn't, you know, we didn't have the kind of entrenched ruling political class of lawyers, you know, media personalities, academics, and government bureaucrats that we do now. And those people are uniformly hostile to an outsider.
And they're also hostile to an outsider that has the social grace of a wildebeest and does nothing but insult people.
You're not going to get any argument from me, man. He's his own worst enemy. You're not going to get any arguments from me on that. But I watch what's happening with Brexit, and I listen to the rhetoric that comes back directed at Boris Johnson and directed at the Brexiteers, the people who voted in favor of it, and it is very similar to the
What I mentioned earlier, though, is we have on the same on the side here, and I know since why I don't get some sort of an agreement on this, I honestly don't know. From a lot of people on the show, you included, we are going out on the limb here with this Electoral College thing. We've gotten to the point.
I don't know what kind of a limb.
Well, I'm saying the way things are going, there's going to be an election where somebody loses by like 8 million votes and is still in and still gets the job. And at some point, people are saying,
if you have the polarization that's going on, where you have every Democrat in the country move into two or three states, and the Republicans in the rest, yeah, you're going to have exactly that, because population. And the Electoral College was set up to defeat exactly that scenario. That's why it was a compromise. That's why it was put in. You're right. You could end up with a real problem.
But I'm saying none of that happened. With the Brexit vote was straight. There's no argument that the vote was tainted or anything like that over there. It was a straight vote.
There's no argument that the U.S. vote was tainted that I'm aware of. No factually based argument. I got lots of crazy conspiracies.
I'm saying is we're going from, you know, the idea. I mean, this is not just Trump. This is not the idea here. Is that people who win seem to think that their vote should be worth more than other people's, and I fall into that trap. You know, everybody does, Lou. I mean, if I see a busload of people coming off the mountain in West Virginia and handing out chickens, or somewhere in some neighborhood in the inner city somewhere, the same thing happening, and 50 people walk into the voting booth, I'm sitting there going, boy, that's odd. I mean, I've been studying for 6 months about this election, and somehow it doesn't seem fair. But, I mean, I'm just as guilty as everybody else. But at least I admit it. But when you take it to the next level, and you have, I'm going to say, what I consider to be a minority government in there, I can deal with it on a presidential level. I mean, that's 4 years isn't that long. If people want to change it, they can change it. But when you start pouring in, you know, 50, 60, 100 judgeships that are going to go there for life, and now they're being represented by a minority of the people. Now I got a problem with that. It starts to escalate.
All right, let me throw out where I think the real challenge is. The Electoral College makes perfect sense for a federation like this, you know, a federal state where we have equal branches of power, state and federal, and the idea was that we would give a lot of autonomy to the states. The Electoral College makes perfect sense in that regard, and it's the system we've got, and I think anybody that says that, you know, the popular vote total from the last election or the election before means anything is wrong, because the campaigns weren't conducted that way, and the votes weren't taken that way. I know lots of Republicans in California and in Illinois and in Massachusetts who simply didn't vote because they knew that their vote wasn't going to count.
You're walking right down the strike zone as far as I'm concerned. I don't ever want system.
I'm just telling you that when people say the popular vote, you know, he won the popular vote, my response is, but it's a meaningless number. It's a meaningless number because Trump and Clinton did did not campaign for the popular vote. They campaigned for the Electoral College vote, and people voted that way. Those are the rules.
Therein lies the tragedy for me. That's to me is what's bleeped up about it, Lou. And I absolutely do not disagree with you that in the last election it was campaigned that way. But the last thing I want is for neither the Republican nor the Democrat to show up in Illinois because they, quote, know it's a Illinois state. There should be some advantage for the Republican to get 40% in Illinois instead of 30, and there should be some advantage for the Democrat to get 70 instead of 60. That's America. That to me is a democracy. Right now, I don't know what we have.
Well, but we're not a pure democracy.
Well,
we never have been.
I would like to
we're
see
not
us
set up that way.
Right here. Okay, a lot of things aren't set up right in my mind either, Lou. I don't think Supreme Court people should be lifetime either.
Let me tell you where we're going to get into a fight on this in the next election. You're not going to get the Electoral College abolished. You're just not.
No.
You're not going to get the states to vote on it. It's not going to get approved. You're not going to get the 2/3 or whatever you take of the states, because 2/3, at least more than a third of the states are going to say, why would I vote to give away my golden ticket? So you're not going to get a constitutional amendment approving the abolition of the Electoral College. But you are going to have a fight over these completely idiotic and, I believe, unconstitutional amendments to states' electoral procedures, like we have out here in Colorado, where they have the state government has said, we are going to void the Electoral College provision of the Constitution by simply telling our electors they have to vote in favor of whoever gets the most popular votes. That challenge is going to come up on the next election. This is not hypothetical.
What do you mean?
It's in play now.
Oh, what do you mean? Wait, whoa. Right now they vote for the people who will win, right?
No. They vote for the people who win their state.
Right.
But they don't vote. But the amendments that have been introduced, and I think it's 15 or 20 states, and have been passed in places like Colorado, require the electors to vote for whoever wins the national vote total. And so they're trying to bypass the Electoral College that way. And that's going to be a real fight
I don't agree with that. Where I would land, Lou, I would land with the Nebraska model.
Well, but you're going to see a flat out revolt. I mean, if we have a situation where the Supreme Court comes in and says, this attempt to end run the constitutional safeguards of the Electoral College is categorically unconstitutional and wrong, and it's not enforceable, and we're voiding all those laws. You're going to see a real fight.
I don't disagree with that, but why can't we do the Nebraska model, where the rubber legislative
even the Nebraska model gives power to a minority winner. Yeah. So because it's still based on the state. So even the Nebraska model is going to give electors to an individual. If you win the state of Nebraska, you're going to get more electors than the guy who you would if a Nebraska says we're going to go with the national vote.
Here's my
our people vote that way.
There's a common sense piece to this, Lou, and I don't. To me, there is anyway, because I don't only, and I understand how people are. At least I try to. I'm getting there, even though it's taking me a while. I understand that you're never going to get the alderman in the city of Chicago to vote to have 35 wards instead of 50, even though the population's gone down. Right. I understand that you're never going to get the winner in the White House to overturn the system that got him there. I mean, I get it, right? You and I, we don't have to go out and have iced teas to figure that out. But my point being is, it's some point, just like I said about the national election. At some point, when it's 600,000 votes in California per something, and it's 50,000 votes in North Dakota per something. At what point do we say we may think this is a democracy, but it's not? And the guy in South Dakota, I'm sure, thinks he gets to count his horses and bullets and guns as voters or something. But the point is, it's reaching a bizarre stage. That was what I'm talking about. And if people don't feel like, I'll tell you what, I don't feel represented at all in Illinois. I walk down the block and half the races are unopposed. And I don't feel like this is a democracy working for me at all. I mean, I'm a guy who actually kind of likes the place. But I'm saying that the reason why people feel the way they are is because they're not part of the system or don't feel they are. I mean,
I think the reason people feel the way they are is because they're basically uneducated in American civics, and they don't understand why the Electoral College was put in place.
Well, but Lou,
they don't
understand the
nature of the country.
But to be honest with you,
they have a very simplistic idea of what democratic government looks like, and they don't understand that we are not a straight democracy.
Okay,
we never have been.
All right, but now my point is, why don't we have the thing's 300 friggin' years old? Let's have a constitutional convention. I don't really care why James Monroe and Madison and those guys thought about it this way. Most people now think that if you talk to anybody here, they'll say, "Yeah, it's one man, one vote." No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm saying, I don't really care.
Not in presidential elections, it's not, and it never has been.
Okay, and a lot of people feel that it ought to be, and maybe a majority would.
Then, if enough of them get together, they can try to force a constitutional.
No, they can't.
Because good luck with that.
No, they can't, because the people who run it are the people who won by a system that's, to me, is kind of shit.
To quote the great Barack Obama, elections have consequences.
I understand that.
If you can't elect enough people and can't swing enough people over to your point of view, then you're not going to get the constitutional amendment done. There is no process.
What's the process?
To amend the Constitution?
Yeah.
You have to get resolutions introduced on both the House and Senate. Right, they have to take a 2/3 majority vote of each House to pass the amendment. And then it goes to the states for ratification. I think 2/3 of the states have to ratify
part.
It within a certain time.
I get that part, but you're not going to get the winners to do that.
The what?
You're not going to get the person who just won in this system to say, "I'm changing the system."
Well, if you get enough people to support your point of view, you will. The Equal Rights Amendment got pushed through Congress. That was a constitutional amendment. The 18-year-old right to vote got pushed through Congress because there were enough people in favor of it. You can certainly push amendments through.
There is zero chance that a guy like this, who's in there with 3 million less votes, is ever going to vote this. I'm just saying. I mean, to me, it's patently unfair.
What you're proposing is, two wolves and the chicken. Sit down to vote about what's for dinner.
That's exactly what I'm against.
That's a bad system too.
The whole idea that every time this conversation comes up with anybody, with you in a bar, wherever it is, and we'll get rid of this conversation, it all comes down to, I don't want the person in California's vote to count as much as mine. It's as simple as that, Lou.
I don't want the country to fall apart, and I don't want us to turn into the Hunger Games.
I don't want us to fall apart either, but
good reasons.
You're saying that
that Electoral College being in place, and so I'm going to continue to vote. I would continue to support the Electoral College. I would not support a constitutional amendment. But hey, if enough people in the country come up and say we got to have this, then they are welcome to try to push it through.
I refuse to believe that the people in North Dakota are so much more American than the people in California that they deserve 3 times the vote.
All I'm saying is the system we've got set up has worked quite well. It's designed to do specific things. If the people in California are convinced of the correctness of their position, then they need to work to get a constitutional amendment pushed through, then convince 2/3 of the states. Then maybe North Dakota is one of the ones they'll never convince, but they need to convince somebody else.
All right, so, but they have 2 senators and how many million people per senator? Those 2 senators are only equal to the 2 people in North Dakota that have the better deal. So how are you ever going to get, how are they, there's the same reason why I don't walk down the block and vote. Or shouldn't, I do. Anyway.
This is functionally equivalent, and I'm just going to give you another analogy. This is functionally equivalent to the Cleveland Indians coming back after the World Series against Chicago, against the Cubs, and saying, we should have won that because we scored more runs than you did over the course of the series. And therefore, we need to rewrite the rule book that gives us the ability to count total runs in the series.
This is not about the guy we have in the House right now, or in the White House. This is about, Lou, this is about, to me, zero common sense. The whole thing in Florida with the Bush election, and I've been on record 100 times by saying I think Bush got screwed.
Bush won that vote count. Everybody says so.
Who's everybody?
The New York Times, who hated him. The Washington Post, the guys that went down there and actually counted him well after the event.
Okay. Listen to me for a second.
Go read those studies. I was fascinated.
Okay.
It turns out that he won. He didn't win by very much, but he won.
I'm sure you're reading the same stuff that I get from other key people here, but the point is, Lou, any statistical person in the world will tell you that election was a statistical dead heat. And that the train.
Yeah, but we don't count votes by statistical dead heats.
I'm just saying. All I'm saying is, on the one hand, you had your idiots in the news saying that the polls down there were closed and that what's his name had won, Gore, which meant that a lot of Bush supporters in the Panhandle who didn't have the same time zone didn't vote. Okay, and then you had the Chads issue, which was a problem. So at the end of the day, it was a total bleep up. So they have to declare 46 one side or the other there instead of just saying maybe one guy should take 23 and the other guy 21. I mean, anybody on earth, that would be the common sense solution to that. Not to have,
but you can't have to. Our system's not set up that way. And the common sense solution that you're allegedly championing here is not a solution. Was not a solution that was constitutionally viable. I mean, that document means something.
Lou, that document was written when there's 50 people in a town, and you could go back and say, who did you vote for again? It doesn't have 20 million people voting and the thing being five votes apart. There's no way that's any kind of legitimate election.
And in your case, then, for your cause, I would say, you know, beat the drum, get the votes out, get the Constitution amended to allow statistical averaging or whatever you want to put in place. And maybe we get there eventually, you know? But I'm just saying right now, the document, we run the country according to the document.
Yeah, well, the document,
the way
document,
the courts have interpreted.
In this particular case,
that's the system.
All right, Lou, if we could throw you back there, you and Scalia, because he knew what all these people thought about. If you walk in, we'll put you in the same outfit those guys are in. Do you think that if you walk in there, you would say, the way it has turned out, there's now 50 states, not, what was there, 12 to start with? In New Orleans,
13.
Well, there's two schools of thought on that, by the way. Is that originally wasn't Rhode Island a county, but was going to come in as part of another state, and then they decided not to or something. There was some weird. Anyway.
There was a lot of horse trading. That's why the government was formed this way.
Okay, but my point is.
Trust me.
Do you think that.
I'd rather have that than what I see going on in Britain right now.
Well, okay, that's our next step. But at least there, you can't point to the vote. The vote was at least straight.
My point is that a written constitution protects us a lot better than what's happening in the UK.
I don't disagree with that, but S&P futures up 450, Dow futures up 28, and NASDAQ futures up 40. Have a couple earnings when we come back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. He's Mr. Mel Weber on the board. Mr. Lou Mike is with us as well. The futures up 5.25. As that futures up 44. We've got individual stocks like eBay's down $3. And in the Dow, we've got 3M down 376. They reported. We've got Twitter down $7. Ouch on the Twitter. Trade 3133. I actually tried to play that one a little bit to the outside. Thank God I didn't get filled. It's down. It's 20%. That is not good. Man, I'm having some computer issues here. Why don't you do Traffic Weather Sports while I wait a minute. Why don't you do that first, and then I'll come back with this other stuff.
I can do that. 35 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a decent start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Traffic building steadily on the Eisenhower, Stevenson, Dan Ryan, but no accidents to report. Bishop Ford and I-57 are looking good. Only crash in the area right now that we're seeing as far as highways and expressways. Lakeshore Drive, US 41 northbound before 53rd Street on the south side. There is an accident that's causing some delays. Marquette to Jackson is 25 minutes and growing, so expect congestion on the south side coming up Lakeshore Drive heading toward downtown. Also, it looks like we have an accident on the Tri-State in the northern suburbs. Tri-State Tollway, I-94 southbound just before Everett Road. There was a crash there that's causing some delays. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, we cool off a bit from yesterday. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 51. Right now it's mostly clear and 44 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 86 today. Right now it's clear and 59. In sports, the Nationals exploded late in their game last night for 9 runs late to blow out the Astros in Game 2. 12-3 was the final in that one. So the Nationals win both games down in Houston. They have a commanding 2-0 lead heading home for Game 3 of the World Series, which will be tomorrow night from Washington, D.C.
Man, is this 2-3-2?
Yes, that's correct. NBA basketball, the Bulls opened their season last night, fell behind by as many as 16, stormed back and took a 10-point lead with about 3 minutes left, and somehow blew that and ended up losing by one in Charlotte to the Hornets, 126-125. Not a lot of defense in this one. I watched the game, some promising offensive play from some of the young guys led by Lauri Markkanen, who had 35 points and 17 rebounds. Kobe White made his NBA debut, the lottery pick from this year. He had 17 points off the bench. Suns took care of the Kings, no problem in Phoenix, 124-95. And then Thursday Night Football tonight, it'll be the Redskins at the Vikings.
Chief, what do you like tonight?
Oh, I like the Vikings. Just a matter of whether or not they can cover. I think it's a pretty big spread. The Redskins are terrible. Vikings are really good at home and had a really nice road win on Sunday and are playing pretty good football right now.
So that the quarterbacks, you've got the Redskins quarterback for the Vikings, former Redskins quarterback in the Vikings, and the former Vikings quarterback in the Redskins.
That's right. Case Keenum versus Kirk Cousins, or as I call him, Case Cousins, and you can just combine them because they're kind of the same guy.
And Kurt Cousins.
Yeah, exactly.
that was a big issue in D.C. because apparently Snyder or one of the other senior people in the Redskins organization kept calling Cousins Kirk Cousins.
That's so hilarious. And so I only know this because I heard it on a podcast the other day, so I'm not going to take credit for it. But Kirk Cousins, through 7 games, leads the entire NFL in quarterback rating.
Yep.
13 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions.
Yeah, go ahead. He said spectacular. He said a couple of spectacular games. And, this goes back to my theory that pro football stinks in the first half of the season, because they can't practice enough, and it takes them the whole first half of the season to get their timing down and their full speed work down and their blocking and everything else. And the only guy that really knows how to manage that system is Belichick. And and Belichick, as I think, either Belichick's cheating, which, you know, I'll throw that out there, but I don't have any proof except what he did in the past. Or he's gotten a system down where he only asks his play. They're only doing very basic, you know, 4 or 5 very basic moves for each play and each defense. And they only need players who can do that. And then he's just adapting that each week so that they don't have to practice, or that the lack of practice doesn't affect them nearly as much.
But, yeah, and then in the second half.
I think it takes halfway through the season for people to start coming on.
And then in the second half of the season, when people do start coming on, that's when the injuries start piling up. So then you get a lot of backups in there, and that can affect the level of play as well. It's not always a great product. There's no doubt. By the way, the Vikings are 16.5 point favorites tonight, Chief, at home.
Now, what's the it always intrigues me, the difference between the point spread and the money line. What's the money line?
The money line right now is minus 1,100 for the Vikings and plus 775 for the Redskins.
So you sports gamblers, explain this for me, because I don't gamble. So the point spread, I get. What's the money line?
The money line is just to win outright. Yeah. So, So if you don't trust that the Vikings can cover 16.5, but you're confident that they'll win, you have to put up 1,100 bucks to win 100.
And then one of the odd things, Lou, is that there's not always an obvious connection between the two. And that's what I try and look at. Because you'll see sometimes the Irish played Southern Cal, and I actually bet on the Irish. So I was in Vegas, legal. And they were like 10-point dogs. And the money line was like minus, 350 or something. And yet, so I bet on the Irish, essentially 3-1 or 4-1, whatever it was, and they won. So I won $400 bucks. But now the next night, the same spread was on Monday Night Football, and instead of being 4-1, it was like 2-1, the money line. So I mean, it's not always.
Yeah, I assume it's just affected by how much money comes in.
Probably, but I'm saying it's not always a straight, you know, like if it's 15 points, it must be 4-1.
No, definitely not. Yeah,
definitely not.
Especially between different leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, college football is much different than pro because college, they know, pro, I should say, they know anyone can beat anyone on a given night.
Right.
And, you know, it's very rare. This is a rare instance where a money line would be this big. You know, plus 775 for the Redskins. I mean, you're getting essentially an 8-1 payout on the Redskins. If you know now, do I think they're going to win? No, but it wouldn't surprise me. It's the NFL.
Yeah, they're
professionals. You know, they could. They're not. It's very rare that a team goes 0-16. So you know, they could very easily win. And if you wanted to put $50 on it to win, you know, $375, that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, I mean, but the non-correlation is always what. It's fascinated me, and like Matty says, Washington's got the new coach. They won the first week with him, right?
They did.
Yeah,
They beat the Dolphins, who are probably the worst team, and the Redskins are probably the second worst team.
Right.
Yep. And then they lost to San Francisco last week and awarded the game ball. The San Francisco head coach awarded the game ball to his father, who had been fired by Snyder. What, in 2013 or 2014?
Right, Mike Shanahan.
So it was pretty. Was pretty funny.
Anyway, Dow futures are up 32. And, do this real quick, and then we'll get back to Lou. Dax up 85.6%. FTSE up 74. A full 1%. CAC around up 31.5. So bullish in Europe. Nikkei up 125.5%. Shanghai down 70 cents. Call that flat. Hang Seng, though, making up the loss the other day, up 231.9%. Bonds 1.76. The Bund minus 0.38. Japan minus 0.14. Oil up down 14 cents right in this range. It's 55, the top end of the 52 to 55 range. Brent 61.21, and we've got gold is down $2, 14.92, kind of locked in a range there as well. So Lou, I don't know, I'm just a little kind of dig back to our own or before the break thing. I think for a lot of reasons, I really do believe at just about every level, certainly Illinois, Chicago. And I don't know how we could possibly even do this with the people ripping each other apart in this country the way they are. I think we need a convention. I think the people, the founding fathers, never thought that somebody would be big enough to be able to, you know, cover the essentially bribe everybody in Congress. But they never saw Merck. They never saw these drug companies. They never saw the companies we have now. You've been listening to this guy. Yesterday on Facebook, I mean, he's gonna put a new currency together, and he's gonna decide what's money laundering and what isn't. Where did this guy get his moral fiber to be able to do this for 300 million people? I mean, what are we doing, Lou?
I mean, I don't know, but if you watched the questioning of Mark Zuckerberg by Maxine Waters and Cortex, and I think Adam Green, Republican or a Democratic congressman from somewhere. If you watched that, just watch those three yesterday, your head was going to explode.
Why?
I literally, you have people telling Mark Zuckerberg, "We want you to determine the truthfulness of assertions made on Facebook and filter out the ones that you think, specifically the ones that we think, are not true." It was the damnedest thing I've ever heard, and I was just going, we got a complete abdication of you know, constitutional understanding and a constitutional basis for government coming out of our elected representatives. That's not even the worst part of it. The worst part of it, from my perspective, is that these people sound like complete idiots when they talk to us.
I totally disagree.
I'm bashing Democrats because that's who I heard. I've heard idiotic Republicans in that line.
But that's what you're going to. We have a couple of tweets here, but before, Lou, I think that this thing, this Facebook, has gotten so big so fast. I think we're looking at people, and Maxine Waters doesn't turn me on much either, but she's not an idiot. she realized she's
well,
got.
She sure sounded like
she's
one
got this, she's got this albatross in front of her, and you look at they don't really know what to do with these people. They don't do the, are they when this guy puts out something from another person. I mean, it does a newspaper. If you put in a letter to the editor that is scathingly wrong, they don't, and they publish it, there is some responsibility under their on their part. Now
what responsibilities on their part? Name one responsible issue or one element of responsibility that a newspaper has to with respect to, you know, legal or some other responsibility to with respect to a letter that they decide to publish.
What if it's a hate letter? What if it's something like that? What if it? I mean, they have it becomes their paper. They put it out.
Yeah, but Facebook is not even remotely equivalent to a newspaper.
Okay, well then what are they?
They're a bulletin board.
Okay,
a super bulletin board.
So you can post.
People can put up whatever they want.
Yeah, you can post.
Okay, but
no.
So what does that mean exactly? All the rules about when Audrey goes out and puts an advertising out, she can't say, "Boy, the way this neighborhood's got black people in it or doesn't." I mean, we're way behind that as a society.
That's a commercial activity for her, leaving directly to her.
Yeah, if I advertise on Facebook and I say,
if somebody sticks a post-it note on Audrey's posting and says, "This woman is a racist," or "This woman is a horrible person," or "Don't use this," Audrey doesn't have any, at least not any legal recourse with respect to criminal or the state power. She might be able to sue him civilly, and you can do that on
what I'm saying
Facebook
is
posts.
Now all of a sudden, this guy has something that people read as much as any newspaper. They're all going out of business,
but none of the
morals apply. Is what you're telling me?
Well, it's a public bulletin board. People can be as stupid or as smart as they want. I mean, to my mind, and probably yours, if you get on there and read that stuff, what comes up is a total failure of our
what I'm pointing here,
Chief, what you're missing is that Facebook isn't writing anything. All they are is they're literally just offering you a platform to post anything.
I get that.
What you post is coming from a different party.
I get that. Okay.
Why? Then what does Facebook have to do with it?
If you listen to the questions, you say, other than just not liking Maxine Waters, if there's a bulletin board on State and Madison, and I put up there, "I can't stand this Lou Michael guy," the guy who runs the bulletin board has no issue with me putting that up there or not, okay? If I say something that Lou's a race, I don't like it, whatever, he might not want to put that up there. But Facebook evidently was allowing people to only send this advertisement to white people or black people. They were doing it. They were allowing you to do that. No newspaper can do that, and I don't think any. They're not just the bulletin board. When you start getting into the advertising area, they were using the same kind of their own rules to deal with the advertising part. That's totally different.
But they weren't censoring content except for the most egregious content.
They were censoring.
And what's hilarious is to listen to Maxine Waters and Occasional Cortex and these other people screaming that they want them to censor out content that they consider to be politically objectionable.
It was totally
crazy.
The advertising point that you're making, Chief, is correct. But I don't think that's not the part
that's
we were talking about.
That's where they make their money.
Right. We were talking about the content part.
No, okay.
You're right about the advertising
part. If you listen to the people yesterday, half the people were bitching about political content, and I'm with you guys on that. I don't know how you deal with that or you expect them to deal with that. I don't. But the advertising part is what perked my ears up right away because nobody else can do that.
You're 100% right on that part of it. Kenny Polcari wrote...
So my question is there... We target advertising all the time. Advertising gets targeted on your search engines. Advertising gets targeted on your internet searches. It gets targeted.
Advertising
gets targeted.
Okay, Lou. We're talking about two other frigging monopolies that we don't seem to be able to deal with. I'm saying is you could never do that in a newspaper. You could never say, "I only want this going to white people because I don't want any black people moving to my neighborhood." You can never do that.
I beg your pardon. You can certainly do that.
How?
Sports Illustrated is the first place I noticed where they were doing it, where you would get different Sports Illustrated magazines depending on where your zip code was.
Well, targeted
advertising has been with us for a long
time. Okay, but what I'm saying is you can go with the city edition of Sports Illustrated, okay? That part I get, because they put some local ads in there, and the local ads are going to be in the local spots. A lot of times, you know what they used to be? Those used to be the fold-out ads that went in there. Because remember, we used to do those for the SIBO. And you're right. You could target. My point is that they, what rules are they under? You're saying because there's something new, they have no rules. And that's exactly what people are pissed off about. Whatever rules other people have.
No, I'm saying that they are subject to the same general rules with respect to content that every other publication is.
Don't disagree with that.
Content, a lot of freedom here.
I don't disagree with that.
Idea that I would ask a private corporation to start censoring content or start, and that's what the advertising is, or censoring its advertising. I don't care.
I would say that if you send in an ad, I would never do this. If you sent an ad to the Tribune with, you know, $1,000 with it, and the ad said, you know, Donald Trump flashed 5-year-old girls yesterday, and that was going to be your ad, that the Tribune would have some responsibility to say, I can't put that in there. By the way, it's not true. I don't know it's true, and even if it did, are we even applying something like that to Facebook? Are there any rules at all?
People put false advertising in major newspapers, political advertising in major newspapers all the time.
I don't think, absent some
elevated journalistic ethic, which, by the way, is a 20th century invention, I don't think a newspaper has any particular duty other than its reputational maintenance to cross-check that stuff.
So I can make sure that it's there.
The newspaper exists to sell advertising.
So I can buy an ad in there and I can say, Lou Michaels is a child molester, and it's okay with it.
To answer your question, in Facebook, they do have strict rules on advertising. And before anything is posted, it is reviewed by their ethics board, whatever that is, and to make sure that you're not selling anything illegal, that you're not selling, you know,
right,
anything to underage people, anything that... Now, from that perspective, they do have their own ethical rule board that reviews everything and either accepts or rejects your ad before it's posted. But if it's politically biased, I don't know how you can, you know, how you do that.
Yeah, I'm not,
and they're not, and Maddie, they're not, they're only, they're looking at those things in very, you know, broad sweeping categories where they are subject to regulation because of their media status, just like anybody else. A newspaper can't put advertising in for illegal products. That all lines up.
Here's my problem with the lad, Zuckerberg. I don't give a rat's behind about his ethics review board. He's not king. He's not pope.
I agree. Kenny Polcari writes in, Zuckerberg is so full of it. Can't answer a question directly. Stutters and thanks everyone for the opportunity, but doesn't answer the question. Talks in circles. And we want to give him more control over our lives. Libra is independent. Really?
Yeah. Listen, guys, I'm
with you. I think it's crazy. I with Kenny, the stuff that I saw, the excerpts that I saw that I watched yesterday, Zuckerberg was incoherent because the questions he was being asked were totally incoherent.
Some of them were incoherent. So, I agree.
Well, that could be, and Kenny's certainly no Democrat. But I didn't see all the questions.
I agree with him. I don't want Facebook. I don't want Facebook or Twitter. I mean, Twitter and Facebook are already, and Google are already censoring views they consider to be too conservative. Google's already adjusting searches to knock out certain things certain ideas that it doesn't like promoted that are political. So, I mean, I sit here and listen and watch that, and I think I really don't want the feds coming in and trying to say, yeah, we're going to run content control on you, or we want you to run content control on us. And the reason they're doing it, I suspect, is because they know that 90% or 95% of the people that work there are going to be pro-Democrat, and so they think it's perfectly safe to have that.
Well,
it's incredibly short-sighted.
I refuse to. My theme this week, Lou, and I don't know if you agree with it or not, is we're in uncharted waters in a lot of areas. I don't know if you the Bill Cohan article in Vanity Fair regarding the. Because I've been talking for a long time about, it sure seems to me like some of the stuff, these, you know, this China stuff and the tweets are being front run. I mean, I'm just sitting here watching. I can't prove it. I don't have that capability. But I also know when Dr. J was the first guy to find out that there were puts trading before 9/11, everybody was aghast, and they still haven't found those people, or they have, and they don't go after them because they must be the right people, or they must be some Saudi guy we can't seem to touch or whatever. Who the hell? I don't know what happened, but the. Now, the people that came after William Cohan, that can't be right. Lou, I know when I was in grad school, he sat right in front of me, or stood right in front of me, Milton Friedman. Somebody said, do you worry about insider trading? And he says, I know that the government is never going to be able, is never going to be willing or able to stop it. Because they're, if they're able, they're not willing because it's the wrong people. He goes, I wouldn't even worry about it. The system will police itself. Okay, that was back when everything was open outcry and you saw the guy you traded with or girl. And now all of a sudden we've got to this totally anonymous electronic area. People can do whatever they damn well please. And it just got there from here, Lou. There's no replacement to the inherent police force that was there. You know, I mean, there was whether it was efficient or wasn't efficient, at least it was there. Now we've got nothing except a bunch of bureaucrats who look at the person they're going after first and then decide how hard they're going to go after them, which is not exactly the government you and I together, even though we argue about it all the time, really want. We'd rather have somebody that did their job without that sort of stuff, but we also know people are people. This is wrong. Well, I mean, now we've got three companies up there and they're talking about, you know, I don't have a problem with Google. And when they first started out, I actually used to trust the bleeps. If you put a thing in there for Phillips head screwdriver, you know, and all of a sudden the stuff comes up in the middle that you're searching for, and the stuff comes over on the right side. Well, everybody with a brain of a gnat figures, okay, the people who pay for advertising are going to be on the right side. I don't have a problem with that. And the pure search, for lack of a better term, is going to be in here. And I'm trusting Google to not confuse the two. Guess what, Lou? It's confused. Once they became a monopoly, it's confused. So does that mean when I put, you know, low-cost credit cards in there as a search, that all of a sudden the top 20 credit cards that come up, they're all 25%, they're paying to squeeze out Lou Michaels' credit card that actually is 10%? I don't want that, do you? The power these guys have? I mean, at some point here, our definitions don't even... And our laws don't even deal with it.
This is a point that we had talked about earlier a couple of months ago when this fixing started to become really apparent. And I tweeted out something to the effect of Google and Twitter are just bound and determined to have themselves declared utilities. And my point was that the response of government to elected representatives to finding that they are being blackballed on these sites, on these very widely used and reviewed sites, will be to call them utilities and regulate them like utilities. And that, I mean, with equal content requirements and the whole bit. And I'm not sure. I don't think I want that.
Well, I don't want the electric company being a regulated utility either. But when the government gives out a monopoly or allows it to happen, guess what?
Exactly.
They can't just walk away. It's like what was the gangster show, Matty, about the one in New Jersey,
Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, where he says
the Sopranos.
No, the Boardwalk Empire. Guy says, "Here's your money," and Nucky goes, "Well, I didn't do anything about that." And he goes, "Nucky, you can't be half a gangster. You either are or you aren't." I mean, once the government's in and gives Lou a monopoly, they got to watch Lou doesn't screw everybody. If you didn't let them be a monopoly in the first place, you wouldn't have that responsibility. But once you do,
you suddenly take over the business. Well, I mean that by the way goes to the heart of one of the funniest dissents in Supreme Court writing you'll ever read, which is Anthony Scalia's dissent in the Casey Martin golf cart case, which is absolutely a scream. And he talks about exactly this, Chief. He talks about the fact that the minute you start running federal law, applying federal law to the rules of games, you know, that are agreed on by everybody, you end up creating what he referred to as federal golf, which I thought was just hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it goes right to your point. The minute you step into something like that, it's in for a penny, in for a pound.
Right.
You can't just touch a small part of it. You have to touch all of it if you're going to have the right effect.
That's why you're better off staying out. Keep it competitive. All right, buddy, take care of yourself. Talk to you next week. SP Futures up 6. As if he's up 47, maybe the Brexit will be taken care of next week. It'll be after the 31st, right, Lou? We'll see. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks, Mr. Farhi Hamzy.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com. Or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Mel on the board. S&P Futures up 575. NASDAQ Futures up 46.
Hi there.
Dow up 32. Hey, how are you? Individual stocks on the earnings. Microsoft is up $1.66, even though they beat on top and bottom.
Yes,
surprising on that one. We've got Tesla up $45. I don't know if I'd ever put anybody in that stock, but it's up $45. We got Apple up $1.
So everything is good now, right?
Yeah, everything is good.
We're ready to back to rock and roll.
Well, we're back to putting money in the market every day, Fari.
Okay. I love that. I love that. Somebody's got to take the other side of my trade. I love that.
Well, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's that's the I mean, that's what the Fed is doing, and
that's what the markets are all about.
Yeah, they've all become about that, and it's money in and or them taking the money out, and that's you wonder once in a while the you know, why do you have any idea why the Fed statement, the Treasury statement that was supposed to be out October 12th is still not out?
I have no idea. I don't watch the Treasury that detail. You know, I'm not a bond trader. Used to be years ago, bond futures.
They're trying to find.
No, I don't.
They're trying to find a way.
I basically look at deficit. I look at interest rates in general. But no, I'm not watching the Fed as closely as you do. So.
Well, I mean, the reason why I'm asking is because
I get probably most. Let me say this for the record. I probably get most of my information of that granular nature from you. From this interview, so
well, the
reading CNN there, but not.
I just
reading.
Wanted to.
I don't go out there searching for them. But this way.
I just say they're.
So tell me what happened.
Tell us what happened. Well, I don't think the administration wants the deficit for last year to be over $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're trying to find a way to fudge it under, because it should have been out already. I'm just saying. You know.
Yeah. Well, this is the fastest growing deficit. You and I talked about this in years. So.
Well, yeah,
listen, I shouldn't be surprised. I'm going to make a comment. Probably some people are going to get upset with me. But, you know, the Republicans decided to elect a lifelong Democrat who was a junk bond king. Do you really, he cares for the stuff? No. I mean, he says negative rates is itself, you get that mentality, that only is telegraphing worse economy going forward, not better. I don't think he knows how to make it better. So it's over his head. You know, that's not worry about it. Let's not litigate that issue. That's just, you know.
Well, I mean, the part with the trading. I mean, right now, I mean, I try and do a lot of stuff to the upside. I mean, I have not sold calls near as aggressively as I normally would, Fari, because I mean, I honestly think even if you think these stocks or some of them are overvalued, even may not. It's very, very difficult when you've got the Fed pouring money in on a daily basis. And on the one hand, you say, this is the greatest economy ever in the world. By the way, the Fed's not helping. We need negative interest rates. That's like saying, you know, I'm dying to have a good cookout. By the way, I hope it rains. I mean, it's totally counter.
As I said, he doesn't know how this thing operates, what he should say, and so on and so forth. So it's sad. It's very, very sad. Listen. Last night, what I saw on TV when Scalise and that crazy guy, is it Getz or whatever, last time he had showed up somewhere that he didn't belong to, now they're going to Skiff. It reminds me, it's the birth of a banana republic. We were supposed to have parliamentary procedures. We were supposed to understand why. This is a grand jury investigation in that Skiff. You cannot share that until that part is done, then you publish everything. Otherwise, they're trying to fix the answers so that everybody has the same story. Please.
Well, it
smells
is.
Like, you, as I said the other day in one of my writings, I said, do not use your left hand, I mean, one hand to hold your nose. Please use both hands to hold your nose as you walk around here because everything stinks.
Well, I couldn't believe the flack I got last week from talking about William Cohen's article on the front running. And I don't see how anybody who has been in the business or has traded or listens to traders, listens to me or watches Dr. J and day after day talk about how he charts the unusual activity, for anybody to say that all of a sudden the opportunity isn't there for people in China and people here that are in the know to trade they're creating. I mean,
the futures that are traded over the weekend.
And all of a sudden I get all these rants from the right wingers that it's all been bunked. And then if you read the article, they called Terry Duffy over at the CME. They must have got him off his private plane. And we're watching that stuff all the time. That couldn't happen. That's not debunked.
Yeah. what do you expect CME to say?
Yeah.
Why is it DOJ, FBI, and CFTC are involved? The one I want them to respond back is CFTC. listen, there, something is going on here. This can't be. You're not traded futures. How can you be this correct? Hold it over the weekend. That big of a size? You would have three heart attacks before Sunday open.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. How come they don't have any major trader responding and commenting on that? They know something is wrong.
Sure, it's wrong.
No. Listen, Durant, listen, these are the IQ problems, okay? Look at one of these. Let them all hear me right now. on the program. If you look at one of these rallies he has, look at the average IQ standing behind him. These are a bunch of robots, down and outs, white angry male, are undereducated. What do they know about this stuff? Come on, don't worry about it. It's all that is going to come. The key part is three or four key GOP senators that matters right now, because this guy has dug his own hole. Number 45 has dug his own hole. Soon we're going to be talking about who's going to be 46. This route we're going, wait until the Erdogan call transcript comes out. You think you've heard everything so far? No. This is going to get a lot worse. This reminds me, as I wrote, I guess maybe 2 weeks ago, I said, it's the spring of 74. Now, people disagree. Joe Scarborough this morning was saying, oh, no, we're way past August of 74.
You know what the difference is, Ferry?
What?
There are no tapes.
Yeah, well, I realize that, but no, better than that, you have videos now. on the lawn of the White House. There are videos now. Listen, Bill Taylor, he was at Fort Bragg for 82nd Airborne, okay, West Point graduate. He went to Vietnam as 101st Airborne. 40 years with the state and the Department of Defense. 40 years done. You can't get better than that with meticulous notes. I mean, wait until he does it. These guys want to have an open hearing. Be careful. This is my comment to the GOP, not legacy GOP, which I am from. My comment to the Trumpkins, you know, the Tea Party. Be careful what you wish for. When that guy speaks in Congress in open session, let's see what the market is that day.
Well, that's what you have. You have a bunch of people on the call, their notes, and you have this transcribed thing. But there is no tape. There's not going to be, what is it, the 12 minutes that got erased, that got Nixon tossed out after. I mean, first of all, I don't want the guy thrown out. I'd rather, A, he's straight up.
Right, beat him in the election.
Well, I'd also rather...
I'm tired of all this BS.
This is really
every day he's a master of manipulation.
Yeah.
And if he can't win, he gets personal. I'm tired of that. We're better than that. This country is better than that.
I have guys, far you can only imagine the amount of people that are writing me, and it's constantly.
Do you think I get them?
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Twitter it goes wild. I probably in the last couple of weeks, we have probably blocked 400 people. I mean, because the nonsense. We have a problem. We have no problem arguing, discussing,
right,
having facts. But don't hit me below the belt on something unrelated or totally debunked or debased. There's no standing on it. You know, like he's been good for the economy. Really? Where? Look at the last 2 years. Look at SPX. Last 2 years, the market hasn't gone anywhere. I told him. I said my bank account loves Grumpino. Because I'm a volatility trader, but I don't like what he does or he says, because the average mom and pop, I look at they can't be the bonds. Bonds are not giving him anything. In the S&P, they don't have the hearts, right? Their hearts are normal. Yeah. You need for this market, you trade some actively. You need a titanium heart.
But
go to eBay if there's anything available.
But we've come to the point, Fari, where it is so disingenuous when you bring up. I mean, I'll be in conversations with people. And I'll bring up, you know, some of the numbers that we talk about. And only, you know, shouldn't go through it. It doesn't bother me. But, I mean, people have opinions that don't have any idea what the numbers are. I mean, it's
exactly. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
I get that down here, too. Believe me.
It's like
some of them are being, I thought were friends or old friends, but they've gone crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're so frustrated. The emperor is naked and is on the ropes.
But we also have...
Just imagine what the disciples, how they're going to behave.
Well, I was talking to a gentleman last night, Fari, mm-hmm. and he, by the way, he's a terrific guy. He's an attorney, does an mm-hmm. awful lot of work for the Fraternal Order of Police.
Right.
Good guy. And we were talking about the teachers situation. And I said, you know, we're at a point here. I mean, nobody values education more than me. Obviously, I went and got a lot of it, remember a lot of it. To this day, I thank the people the guys that I had for class, because, I mean, I didn't get the knowledge I have. I didn't get on my own. They helped me get it. Right? Nobody is more pro-education than me. But right. I look at the numbers and I say, wait a minute, in the last 20 years, the teachers are up 50% or thereabouts, and the people that are paying them are up 10%.
Yeah.
You know, I look at those things and I go, that does not compute, like the old computer in whatever that TV show was. It does not compute. That's not a long-term gain. It's just like my idea of this alleged growth we have. And I don't want a society with no growth. I want to see growth from it.
Absolutely. It actually changes the tempo, changes the attitude. See, people deal with downturns a little bit better. Why does it get so agitated on every downturn? Because you had no upturn. Average guy hasn't.
You're pouring $1 trillion, and Carl would say more, $1 trillion, which is essentially 5% of GDP. You're making up every year by putting the money in. Okay, yeah. Close to it, and you're growing 1 or 2%, maybe. This was supposed to be the gasoline you put on the charcoal to get the charcoal going, then you could stop with the gasoline and the charcoal went on by itself.
Right.
Clearly,
yeah.
That has not happened. That has not happened. So the trick is, do we keep putting the gasoline on the same wet charcoal, or do we find a different way to go about this?
Yeah.
You know, and we don't seem to have anybody who's got the smart. You know, I look at Lou was all over the people who were interviewing. Of course, he picks out the Democrats, Maxine Waters, and the rest of the people. They don't sound so hot, neither Republican people. You get the idea, Fari, that on one hand you've got, I'll be nice and say they're regular people. They're coming from their districts. They're just, you know, they're local politicians, which you get really in the House, right? And you get them in there. And they come up with this monstrosity that is now Facebook or Google. How the hell am I supposed to, you maybe, because you're in a way more systems than me, how the bleep is Maxine Waters or somebody else supposed to even understand for a second the monstrosity that is now Google or the entire range of kickbacks and all the crap that the big drug companies do? How does one person, especially the skill set probably isn't from Princeton, or I'm not saying she's a dummy.
No, it's not easy.
But the skill set is not. How is she or I or you in our particular area? I'll take my chances with just about anybody. You know, I mean, when it comes down to the trading and the economics and stuff, because that's what I'm good at. But boy, you put me on a committee where we're talking about the leaders in Africa. What do you need me there for? I don't know any of that stuff. I mean, I'd love to learn. It's a weakness that I don't know. I will admit that. And I'll learn as fast as I can.
The more you know, the more you understand how little you know.
Right. That's exactly right. So, I mean, but how...
I mean, in the Persians we say the branches with the best fruits hang lower because they're more mature, heavier. They hang lower. So it's a translation I'm doing. But it goes back. This goes back 3,000 years. So there's some wisdom there. I agree. You know, we learn as we age, we mature, and we learn the things not to do. But we also know the universe is so big, we're just a grain of sand on the beach.
Right.
And how little we know. Listen, I try to do again just my own habit, and sometimes I get behind. Of course, now I get religious. This is October. It's called World Series. That's my religion. Baseball is so. I haven't been doing as much, but I still have a little pad next to me. I'm searching a few things. But I swear to you, I learned from Bill Gates in his second book, Business at the Speed of Thought, back in 95 it was, 96 whatever it was. He spent 3 hours a day, and that was, internet was early, or 2 hours a day dedicated to looking at internet on not his business subjects, of just learning. I try to do that at least an hour sometimes. Of doing things that are not necessarily related to what I'm doing, as much as possible, but learn and surfing, because you have the clicks, you know, as you click, it takes you to a new page, and you could see, of course, good sources, good writers, and just see, learn more about what's going on. the more you dig out there, like on Wikipedia, for example, seventh largest traffic on the internet, you'd see how little we know. There's so much documented. It's amazing. I mean, listen, Princeton had the second largest library in their college system. Harvard was first, was second. Firestone's gave the money for that, the family, Firestone family, and then McDonnell Douglas of the, you know, of St. Louis gave quite a bit, actually, to, you know, build it underneath and expand it. It's a city, okay? There's nothing like what internet now. I mean, there's so much on internet now. And, you know, if you have any thirst for knowledge, we live in golden age. There's so much out there to learn of any subject you like. I have psoriasis. I want to read something about psoriasis. How do I? There's so much valid data there. I don't talk about hokey pokey crazy stuff like Daily Caller websites and all that. No, and like in politics for what's his name? Dr. Carlson crap. No, but I'm talking about like WebMD. Some valid stuff for what you're trying to look for. There's so much out there. So,
well, even the crazy stuff, and I'm, you know, I'm a Luddite on this compared to you, but even the crazy stuff like if, you know, Audrey's car needs, you know, some headlight work.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I can, I look, I before I decide whether I do it myself or take it somewhere, I go on to YouTube. And then the guy tells you how to do it. And it looks to me like it was about a 40-step process, and my conclusion was, I'm taking it in. but if it was three bolts, I'd do it myself. You know what I mean? I mean, at least there's how to do it, but a step-by-step. I mean, you could get that before, but you had to go to some kind of a technical manual or something. It was always available. But, I mean, just to watch somebody do it, like if you do it in your garage, and then first thing I see was, wait a minute, you need a hoist to get the headlight out? I don't have a hoist. I think I'm taking it into somebody. But if it was simpler than that, I'd say, I can do that. I can take out five bolts. I don't need somebody to do that for me. I mean,
right.
So, I mean, but you're right. The knowledge, even on something like YouTube, I mean, how do you paint this? How do you do that?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
something you never
did.
That's
another angle. That's where the books can't help, because now you have video. I mean, you know, when Google bought YouTube, what was it, $2 billion? YouTube had just gone public.
Yeah.
And people poo-poo that, saying, what is the vision there? Look what they've done now, and what a critical master in that now. Not only could somebody with deep pockets at Google afford doing that, let it grow first organically, get such a deep depth of various materials, you know, so... See, you know, I don't know if you remember or not, George Cavaligas. He used to work for, Rick Santel used to work for him at the Bond Pit.
Okay.
He worked for me. We ran our Bond room for a while. And he said, can I do some videos at the end of the day? I said, sure. You have no idea how many people came in. Unbelievable. He was doing like 5-minute videos just to recap what he sees as an interest rate guy on YouTube. Cost us nothing. We have probably 1,000, just 1,000 subscribers who sometimes write to me saying, what happened to this guy? Is he coming back? I said, well, you know, he's broker now, so he can't make comments. But so it's just amazing how these things have gone.
Well, I think, and on the same token, people waste so much time by going to the weird stuff. Maddie Weber and I were talking on the way in. I said, you know, on the one hand, you'll see incredible. I mean, I was never, my penmanship was always awful. The idea that I could type on a computer, I was never good at a typewriter. I mean, there's no question that to live in the things around you make life so much easier than were there before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once in a while, Farah, you'll look and see. Let me get this straight. In 1958, you know, Joe Jamoke was the Speaker of the House, and he had seven middle-aged ladies working for him, and they with just typewriters and mimeograph machines, and they managed to put out, you know, 50 bills. And here it is, spin forward like 70 years, and now there's 50 people working in there with 48 computers and God knows what else, and they put out 20 bills.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, somehow we've gotten way more efficient at the tools around us. But we have not gotten as efficient as the tools should have made us. I mean, we're not gaining anything. I'm not so sure that people in class are that much further along than chalkboards and blue books. A little bit, maybe, but I don't know that people are learning any better or any faster. I mean, I guess for me, I know it would have been a lot easier. I didn't have to go out with young ladies.
Certain areas.
I wouldn't have to go out with young ladies I didn't like just because they could type.
You know, yeah. If you're looking at, let's say, statistics, for example, if you're doing a fast four-year transfer, yeah, the computer really helped. But has he taught us, have they, or what do you call it, DNA stuff, okay? You know, your genome. That they have helped us to stop and think more because the machine is doing a lot of our work for us. But if you writing for New York Times or Washington Post or whatever, or Wall Street Journal, hasn't helped us to be better writers.
Well, I mean, I know my...
Do you see the distinction?
Well, yeah. My buddy Eric May says mm-hmm. the first thing he does when he has his creative writing class
mm-hmm.
is he has to go over punctuation and phonics for people. I mean, they're not right. I have no idea.
I mean, some of the writings I get from some of these folks are just... All of them. I'm not talking about the
people. Yeah, it's absurd.
In general. It's just awful. Yeah. Awful. I mean, it's like, what did they learn in high school? What did they learn in college? How come at this level, and these are traders, they can't even write? Well, or punctuations, for example. And if your two words are very close to each other but have a different meaning, invariably they get it wrong. They get it inverted.
Well, I mean, we have a teacher strike going on in Chicago, so that's...
Lovely.
Yeah, but I know my uncles. My mother was the first person to graduate high school, and she was the fifth kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other four did. And then my uncles, God knows, I'm sure they left the minute they could, which was, what, 16? And yet every one of them was incredibly well-read. If they weren't reading in their nose in a book, one became a tool and die maker, and then he put together printing presses with all the blueprints and all the other stuff. The other one was a welder on ships during the war, knew how to read that kind of stuff. I mean, these were very accomplished people, and yet when they left at 16, they all knew their civics. They knew, like Lou's always talking about, people don't even know what the kinds. They all could tell you chapter and verse what their civics was, what the difference was between the judicial branch and. I mean, people are like that. People are from Britain. You find somebody from Britain or Canada that has a high school education, and you think, well, this guy must be a dummy. They're not. They are not at all. I mean, they somehow or another, they seem to squeeze more into high school than we sometimes squeeze into college here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's wrong, Fari, but...
When I was in junior high school, okay, grades 7, 8, and 9, yeah, in Iran, and that's very British, French curriculum, if you will. That's how it's copied. Jeez, we had something like 18, 19... Maybe 20, I don't know, somewhere in that range. Depending by year, they were not exactly constant. But courses. So we never met the same class every day. It was distributed along the week. Like we had geometry 3 hours during the week. It would be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday type of a deal, 1 hour each.
Yep.
So it was sprinkling in there other stuff. So we had something like 20 different subjects. I mean, we would get home. Did we have homework? Yes, we did. Because not just finish what you learned today, but tomorrow is a totally different class, different schedule. You actually literally carry the schedule with you by the week to know how it meets, because you're going to forget.
All right, Fry, you got to give us a market shot here. We only got a minute. Those are up 550. The earnings, some good, some bad.
Amazon is coming up. Microsoft was good. Bib popped because of their... hibernation, 7 months of going nowhere fast. It jumped 28%. We shorted it. Okay, we have a put spread on that. Let's see. We're short on Boeing. It's a little bit against us. That's okay. We did very well with JP Morgan. We came in on Goldman Sachs so-so, and now it popped, and we covered that one nicely. What are we doing right now? So you know, I'll let you go with that. We're doing a little bit longer options. We're giving ourselves a little bit more room. We're not doing weeklies. We're pushing at least the monthlies. So,
how did Apple go from, real quick question, from nobody wants their new phones to the thing goes up every friggin' day?
I don't know, but part of it could be the streaming.
Yeah.
Remember, they're giving that away as long as you buy something.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Yeah, and then now the market cap is through the roof now all of a sudden.
Right, I'm saying that, And somehow Apple
Tim, remember?
Yeah.
Or was it, what do you call him? Team Apple. Team Apple. Yeah, Team Apple.
All right, Ferrari, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you next week. SP Futures up 575. NASDAQ Futures, the big one here, up 47. Be back, David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. This is Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 575. We've been there for a little bit. NASDAQ Futures up 48. We've been there for a while. Stocks in the Dow moving, Boeing up 250. We have, with the oddest, earnings thing yesterday with Boeing. I don't know what to make of that. We'll ask David what he thinks. In a second, we've got, Twitter down $7. That's a big hit. It's almost, well, was 20%. Now it's less than that, but it's down to 31.43. We've got Tesla trading up $45, 44.85, almost back to 300, 299.11. So that's,
Interesting move there. You say Dow futures are up 50 over in Europe. Trying to get this thing to go here. So much stuff going on here trying to find these earnings, Manny, that I'm a little blocky. Why don't you see what you can do with traffic, weather, sports?
I can do that. 35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. A couple of issues to report on this morning. It looks like we have significant delays building on the Edens and Kennedy. No accident to report, but all kinds of congestion. Same for the Eisenhower. Stevenson, normal for this hour. Southside Expressway is looking good. We do have police activity on the south side at 47th, just off the Dan Ryan. I don't know if that's affecting the expressway. No report on that, but there is police activity right off of 47th and the Dan Ryan there. Earlier crash on Lakeshore Drive is all clear, so that's good news. Only other issue in the area is out in the western suburbs. We have a crash with injuries at North Avenue east at President Street, which is Route 64. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds early. Could see some sunshine later on, but cool temperatures. A high of just 51 degrees. Right now it's overcast and 45 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 86 today. Right now it's clear and 60. In sports, the Nationals took both games down in Houston after blowing out the Astros last night, pulling away late. 12-3 was the final in that one. So the Nats lead 2-0, heading back to D.C. tomorrow night. Bulls lost their NBA 2019 opener in Charlotte, 126-125. It was a barn burner. Bulls had a 10-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. And it quickly evaporated, Chief, and they ended up losing by one. Suns blew out the Kings, 124-95. Thursday night football tonight, it'll be the Redskins at the Vikings. Vikings are 16.5-point favorites. Chief.
So let's see. When you start to lose your 10-point lead, and the only way you're ever going to get it back is by somebody winging one up from three. So you cross the midcourt line, take two dribbles, wing one up. You use maybe 5 seconds off the clock and give the ball back to the other guys. Do that like three times in a row. That lead can go like real fast.
And it did.
David, how are you? David, are you with us, bud?
I'm here.
Okay. How are you? What's going on? What's going on in the market here? I see the durable goods numbers came out -1.1. Not so hot, but didn't bother anything here. We're the same spot we were.
It's a volatile number. I mean, I think it's important, but the market, you know, one month it's up 3%, next month it's down 5%. This one I think was down 1.1 or something like that.
Well, we obviously aren't going to get many. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not sure if Boeing is still getting orders for these planes. I'm actually stunned about their earnings report yesterday. About how, you know, it was.
I guess just their commentary that, you know, they still plan on getting the MAX jet into the air before the end of the year. Just, that was it. That was all they had to say. And, you know, a lot of shorts and a lot of puts and all of a sudden you're up. I mean, when you think, and I don't own a share, and I'm not recommending a share. You asked me Monday, and I said around 320 was, you know, a good bet to risk $5. It didn't quite get there. All the news, really, that has been thrown at it, even, you know, inside emails, and the stock won't go, you know, it had the one trip to about 305, and that's it. Otherwise, it's been a trading range between 320 and 390.
Well, to me, it's a, you know, I will say this: I'm after being involved in a contract like that was delayed. Nothing like this. This is my view of how much money these guys got to be down is, you know, is totally different than what you're seeing on TV or anywhere.
Well, and their expenses went up, and just, you know, storm planes and the like. And I mean, I think beyond headline risk, I think, you know, there's risk of, you know, carriers coming and saying, hey, look, you know, safety checks didn't pan out, and you cost us huge business, and you owe us. There's been a little of that now, but the financial obligations are yet to be determined.
Well, I also think that, I mean, here's, as you know, I'm big on competition. I'm not big on monopolies, and all I see are monopolies or would-be monopolies or things just starting, and The tout is, I mean, as much as I think Boeing is totally not being truthful in how much this has cost them, I don't think anybody even has a clue at how much them being a monopoly is worth being to them. I would say that I think that they're going to lose, you know, incredible amounts of money on this thing with these things sitting there. I mean, if you start adding up the amount of maintenance per day per plane just to sit there and not screw up, these are planes that haven't even flown yet. I mean,
there's ones out in parking lots, in hangars.
But I mean, to get them all up and ready to go, I think they're totally miscommunicating what that's going to take. And I'm going to say that if I'm, Southwest Air or I'm anywhere, just for insurance purposes, for my, if I want to go to heaven and not hell, I'm going to want every single pilot going through, because now I don't believe for a second that this is just the same plane as the 400, and I can drop a pilot's fanny in there and he's fine with this thing. Anybody who believes that, I got a bridge for you. I mean, I'm not saying it won't end up being a fantastic plane or any of those things, but this is like a brand new plane coming out right now and should be dealt with as one, in my opinion. I mean, just by,
I think the training and the safety and the maintenance will be just that.
Well, if that's where that is, for them to come out and say, what did they take, a $4.8 billion hit 2 quarters ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I don't know the exact figure.
I don't know the exact figure, but for them not to say that number has appreciated substantially, we don't know where it is, but it's definitely not 4.8 anymore. And for them to not declare somewhat more of a loss, even if it's a billion or two, I don't see how. I mean, we all know that the government's going to give them as much money as they have to. They gave them, what, $14 billion to play around B-52s for 10 years or something. I mean, they'll give them whatever money they need to stay in business because they're our monopoly. I mean, what can we do without them?
Well, and the contribution to GDP and durable goods is enormous.
Right. But at some point, though, even somebody that big can bleep up to the fact, what if this thing never flies? Which I think is a one in a zillion chance. But anyway, the DAX up 70.5%, FTSE up 68.1%, CAC around up 19.3%. So pretty bullish over in Europe. Asia, kind of a crummy, not really. Nikkei's up 125.5%. Shanghai's flat, but the Hang Seng is making up for the loss it had the other day when nobody else had a loss. Up 231.9%. And we've got gold virtually unchanged, silver unchanged. We've got oil down 15 cents. So not much going on really anywhere. Fed keep pouring money in every day a little bit, David. It's pretty hard for the market. I don't think the market can go down here. I would never ask anybody to short Boeing because I think that they're the American icon now. But to what point? How much? Yesterday the news came out they were cutting production of the 787. They pushed out the first delivery of the 777X. And, oh, by the way, this isn't getting much better, and it stacks up. I mean...
No, I get it. No, and I mean, I think that's... When you look at the unknown news and the headline risk, and then you consider the other aspect that virtually anything that has come out has been negative, and yet the stock is held in, I think that's when you really do... Obviously, I'm biased, but I think that's when you do turn to the chart and say, hey, look, at 320... 315, I don't have a lot of risk. I'll take a shot and buy it, because if I'm wrong, I'm wrong for $5-6, and if I'm right, I might be right to 390, and vice versa.
Yeah.
At 385, 390, where it's met resistance every time, you say, hey, bad news is coming, it just isn't seen yet, I'm going to sell the stock there, put on a put spread or whatever. And I think that's until Boeing either comes out to the bottom side of 305 or above 390, I mean, all it is a trading range. And you can try and factor in all the news and unknown news and emails and, costs and maintenance and whatever until your hair drops out. But the market has said it's a 310 to 390 market.
You know who's been very careful, who's been very silent through this whole thing? Is Airbus. You haven't heard anybody coming out saying, hey.
Well, there's more and more and more subsidization from the EU, which Trump has remarked about and said, oh, that's unfair, unfair, unfair. So we got problems with the EU, not just China.
All right. Again, I'm everybody knows I'm very pro-American. Does anybody over the age of four actually think that in the entirety, Airbus gets more benefit from government than Boeing.
I would have no idea. Probably not, but on a percentage basis, because the numbers are smaller, maybe they're pretty close.
You don't think that this you think Airbus had a shot at the $14 billion B-52 deal?
No, of course not.
How many times did Airbus win the bid for the new tanker until finally it got to the point where Boeing got it anyway? That's not a subsidy?
No. I get it. I get what you're saying. It's bigger projects. It's bigger revenue. All I said was on a percentage basis, and I can't, you know, put my finger on, you know, exactly what revenues to each company is. On a percentage basis, you know, I would just guess that the percentage of subsidization from the government is pretty close between Airbus and Boeing. And when the EU saw that, you know, Boeing's down, a major jet, whatever, and, you know, let's get Airbus really rolling, they lifted the, and I'm not saying, you know, Trump's right or whatever. It's just what appeared.
How can the people who, if you ask them, of course, they maybe have only read the Cliff Notes, if you ask an awful lot of people what caused the Great Depression, one of the three things for sure that people pop up are going to be, was it the Hoot-Smalley tariffs that went on in 1931 or 30, whenever the hell it happened.
Right.
They're going to say that was a huge reason for the Depression happening when it did.
Right.
And now we have somebody in the White House who's doing the exact same thing. Now, if Airbus...
In the face of a not just domestic, but a worldwide slowdown.
Yes. And you've got... If Airbus, and I'm not saying if, we know they are, if Airbus is being preferenced by the EU, okay, getting, you know, this kind of benefit and that kind of benefit, which, you know, obviously they hire a lot of people, too. If they are... And all of a sudden, we have this World Trade Organization that says they're guilty of that. And they, by the way, they're going to rule on whether we're doing the same thing to Boeing in the next few months, from what I understand.
Right.
Now, they allow us to retaliate on tariffs against the butter guys in Ireland, the winemakers in France, and God knows what exactly is the connection between Airbus and the guy making butter in Ireland that he should have tariffs on him, punitive tariffs, and all of a sudden now the butter here, the price of butter goes up a few bucks, or not a few bucks, but it goes up a few cents because obviously it's going to work its way through. In the Land O'Lakes, much as, you know, they're probably saints, are going to say, wow, we can raise the price of our butter 10 cents a pound because look what's happened to these poor guys, and they're their number three competitor. I mean, where are we going with this? And then we're going to have...
No, I get it. And I agree. I mean, it's the stuff you've mentioned, but I mean, it's olive oil, yogurt. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, are you kidding?
So you
know, France subsidizes Danone, you know, so what?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, it just seems to me that you try and keep the trade as free as you can. But you also know that everybody has their sacred cows, and we have ours. And, you know, we obviously, I mean, I'm going to say that if we didn't have tariffs on sugar and wood products, I don't think there'd be a sugar producer left in the U.S., would there?
I don't know that there is one.
Yeah, I think so, because we've got tariffs on them. Pretty strong.
I mean, I know Dole left Hawaii and went to South America. I don't know. I mean, maybe Domino. I don't know. I don't know, but I know it's not much. There's not much sugar being raised.
I mean, if we just said there were no tariffs to Canada on wood products, I'm going to say that industry here would shrink dramatically. And if Japan didn't say that there were tariffs on rice to protect their farmers, I'm going to say in 10 years, between us and the Vietnamese and other people, there wouldn't be a rice farmer left in Japan. And so everybody protects something. And everybody on the other side realizes why they're doing it. A country the size of Japan doesn't want to have zero ability to feed their people. whether it be wartime, whether it be something, whether it be something, God knows what it is. Same way here. We like to have a forest industry. We like to have a few sugar farmers left. So if you and I, for the last 30 years, every time we go to the store, instead of 20 cents a pound for sugar, we're paying 21. That's a tax on our people that we pay to make sure there's American sugar to buy should we ever need it. Now, whether it's a good idea, bad idea, it's probably some of both. But this is the complexity of this whole situation. And now you throw somebody in there who just loves tariffs because look at the money I'm making. And we're screwing those guys. Before in history, that was considered a really horrible thing to do economically. Now it's okay because we're screwing those guys. I mean, so you got to be
supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
I mean, like, and I did bring up, you know, those folks in the furniture industry that, you know, that I talked to at that wedding. I was surprised that they literally said that China was either eating or literally writing checks for 40-50%. I honestly thought it was zero.
Depends if it's competitive or not.
Right.
I mean, and furniture, I think, probably is. Now, the people from Morgan Stanley, this is a few months ago, they felt their estimates of how much China would, quote, have to eat. When I say eat, I promise to be brief with this. If it's a, let's say it's a children's swimming pool, there's only one factory in the whole friggin' world and it's in China. A blow up swimming pool and it comes over here and a pool normally costs $20 and we put a 10% tariff on it. And the guy on our side, when it lands here in Los Angeles, that person, the American guy, the U.S. guy, has to write a check for $2 for that $10
right.
for that 10% tariff.
Right.
It's not being paid for by China or anything. Now,
right, and see, I thought it was that way all the way across the board.
Right,
and evidently.
But what I'm saying is if there is no other supplier, there is no competition. If you go to the Walmart, you're just going to see that thing $22. Or, I mean, if you do the graphs properly, it won't be $22. Walmart or somebody might eat. It'll be $21.95 or $90 or something. But by and large, the American buyer is eating the entire tariff. Now, if it's totally competitive and the thing gets here and there's 15 other countries in here and the competitive price is $20 and all of a sudden the poor guy from China, poor guy, I'm not big on those guys, has to pay $2, guess what? When it comes to Walmart, it's still going to be $20, and if they want to be in the system, okay, and then be competitive, They're selling it to us for 18 versus 20, so they're eating the two. I mean,
right.
but very few things are perfectly competitive. And
right.
and the example that your man Dan uses, president of PTI Securities, is he knows a lot of guys in the auto glass business. And evidently some percentage of that glass comes from China, replacement glass. So if your rack hits your windshield and all of a sudden some guy goes over your house and plunks the windshield in, some of that is imported and some of it's not. Well, the day that the 10% tariff went on that, Dan was playing softball with these guys. They said, guess what? Every one of our suppliers went up the whole 10%, even though they get half of their stuff from people here in Mexico. They took advantage of it and used it as, well, we've been trying to get a 10% price increase for a while. Here it is. So now in that situation, the guy from China is eating nothing, probably, and our guys are making 10% more. Now what it does to demand or quantity demanded, I don't know. I mean, if you got a rack through your windshield, and you need to go somewhere. I mean, if it's $200, if all of a sudden it's $220, you may not like it, but you're probably going to pay it, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not something that's an impulse good, for lack of a better term. So I mean, I say for every single product, there is its own story, and for people to just gloss over this, senators and presidents alike. Oh, we got these tariffs, we got this one. No, every single one of these things has their own story. And so you got to be very careful of saying, we're helping. You might be helping this guy, but you're hurting that guy. Every single one is it's got fingers everywhere, shall we say, David. And that lack of understanding kind of bothers me in people that I'm paying to run a government that I don't think they know what the hell they're doing. Just saying.
No, I get it. And I think the two different examples, competitive and not competitive, that you brought up were really good. I mean, it helps my understanding because, like I said, I thought American consumers were eating 100% of it, and, you know, in some cases, evidently, they're not.
No, they're not. The Chinese are, if it's competitive.
Right.
But, like, you go into IKEA, like I say, and you pick up a shot glass, it's going to be a buck. On the bottom, it's going to say Made in China. Say, if they're the only suppliers, it's now going to be $1.10. If there's a million other people doing it, it's going to be $1.01, and the Chinese guy's going to eat 9 cents.
Right.
If he wants to
be
in IKEA. But, I mean, how many products do we have? 1 million? 2 million? I mean, look at the, did I ever send you the thing that Kevin sent us? The amount of the things in the North American trade agreement? And then the 20 items that Trump let go for 2 months, he extended them to December. David, I knew like 40 items. It was like cat food and something else. Dog leashes. Why would we extend dog leashes? I have no friggin' idea. But the other 16, I don't know what they were. Some sort of industrial chemical that I never heard of. I mean, not that I don't know anything about industrial chemicals. But stuff that obviously somebody needs. Somebody got into the Oval Office and said, you can't do this on this stuff. We're talking about things that, you know, and China got a break on, evidently, since they don't have a whole lot of refineries, the part that goes over the fence last, that when you break down oil, okay, you're going to get roughly three barrels of oil get you, what, two barrels of gas and one barrel of heating oil, right, on a general thing.
Right.
But there's also 1,000 other stuff in there. There's going to be a half a cup of hydraulic oil or half a cup of this or linseed oil, or you name it, paraffins, those kinds of things. Evidently, China has no ability to come up with their own hydraulic oil. So they negotiated, you know, no tariffs on hydraulic oil, you know, going that way. Or they dropped the tariffs on that, so we dropped them on something else. But you don't know who these people are, but obviously hydraulic oil is important to somebody. I mean, right? Like, real important.
I think the original list on the first, you know, round of tariffs had 578, you know, different items enumerated. So somebody does some research.
Well, if you read the whole list, Kevin sent it to me, I couldn't believe it. Large curd cottage cheese, not less than 2% whole milk fat, blah, 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 blah. Next line, large curd over 2% milk fat. The next one, you know, small curd. There had to be 10 things of cottage cheese. I didn't know there were 10 kinds of cottage cheese. But evidently, and every one of them means something to somebody, right?
Not
you or me, but there's some guy on there. The amount of the mozzarella cheese for top of a pizza, I was reading that page between that cheese going back and forth between here in Canada. David, there had to be 10 lines. I didn't know there were 10 different kinds of mozzarella cheese going top shredded. What did Chris tell us the one day? There's 75 pages in the EU documents regarding cabbage. Evidently, there's a gazillion kinds of cabbage, and I thought there were 2-3 kinds. I didn't know. But so, what's the market going to do here? What about gold?
I think
gold's
it's just
going
to trade. I mean, it's trying to break out to the upside. Some of the oscillators are pretty extended, and there's some divergences. And you know, we got a Fed deal next week, and so we'll see. I'm bullish, but I still believe that up here with, you know, oscillators extended, that it's worth it, if nothing else, to hedge some portfolios for speculators, you know, with a degree of risk tolerance. I think it's worth a little bit of a short just for a near-term correction.
Well, I don't usually offer an opinion on this, but with the Fed doing what they're doing, I'm going to say I'd be stunned if we didn't make it to new highs here. I mean, it just seems like every time there's a pause, there's some cash trickling in.
And yet, every time the market's made it, the S&P's made a new high, it's made it by 0.5% and backed off. So even if it does, unless you really show me a big day on big volume and acceleration and follow through, I'm not going to really trust the. I trust the upside over the long term, but it's going to be tumultuous.
All right. So the next question, as you probably can expect, is it looks to me like the momentum is for us to get there. And we've got money supply growing at 7.9% over 13 weeks. The 3 months is 7. Fed beefing up the balance sheet in the midst of the greatest economy ever. I'd be stunned if we didn't get there. What if we fail? What if it doesn't get there? What does that say? Anything?
Yeah, not really. I mean,
that's fair.
It will correct 5%. That's what it means. That's what it's been, and then that 5% break will be bought, and we'll go back to the highs again. I mean, that's what it looks like. That's the history, and that's what I expect.
There's no, all the stuff I've read about this constant trickling of this $1 trillion a year. One day, this comes apart. Are we still 5 years away from that? 10 years? 40 years?
No. I think we're 18 months away.
Well, let's hope we got puts the day it happens.
Yeah.
S&P futures up 550. NASDAQ futures up 44. Thank you, David. Thank you, Matty. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.